Barb, I believe that when we hear the voice of God accurately, we start winning, and we can win big time. But I do have to look back to something that's negative, and that's out of Ezekiel 14, a great book of Ezekiel. And I'm going to read portions of this first 10 verses here, but it says in verse 3, and God was speaking to the prophet. He said, "Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and have put right before their faces the stumbling block of their iniquity." See, he's saying, they have done this. Should I be consulted by them at all?
That means when they pray, should I answer them?
Should I answer them?
It's exactly what he's saying.
Now, he goes on to tell the prophet, "Speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, any man of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will be brought to give him an answer in the matter in view of the multitude of his idols." Now, what that's saying in street language is, one day the idol's voice sounds to you like the Spirit of God. I mean, that's deception gone crazy. And all of a sudden you feel like that affair that you're having is okay. Well, God's ordained this. After all, God's the one that gave you a sex drive. Or God just believes that I can go gamble and God's going to just cause the dice or cause the numbers to work out for me and I'm going to be able to feed my family and pay my bills. Well, you're in deception. And I will say this, when you get that far into deception, it's like one man that I knew about, and his counselor told him, he said, "You're standing in the middle of the garbage dump and you don't even smell it." Mm. You've lost the ability to discern right from wrong. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what happens when you have an idol. Last night I was watching a little bit of a new channel. It was on NASCAR, and they were having interviews at various racetracks and so on. And that's probably, from what I hear, the biggest spectator sport in the country. Now, if you've got to know all about Chevy and all about Ford and all about what chassis is going on and all of this business, and that's where your thought is all the time, that probably is an idol in your life. Or here in Denver, you can get get really carried away with hockey and with football and with baseball and with everything else under the sun. You say, "Well, I'm a real fan. Look at me. I'm not just one of these wishy-washy. I'm a real fan." Well, if that's where you are, you probably have an idol of sports in your life. And God says, "I will be brought to speak to you always through your idol." Mm-hmm. And Barbara, that is a very, very dangerous thing.
It really is. But just as these people are so engrossed and set in their sports and all of these things, Darren, and they have become idols, they're trying to learn as much as they can about this particular sport or about their particular love. Or they're going from place to place trying to find out more about what they love. So it should be with us who love the Lord Jesus, who call the Lord Jesus our Savior. And we are speaking to Christians here on Hearing the Voice of God. This tape is not for the world. It's for Christians. It's for believers. It's for those who call Jesus Christ Lord. Then shouldn't we be so involved in learning as much about Him as we can? As much about how Jesus did things, as much about what He said about things? Yes, that should be our main focus on finding out what God is all about and who Jesus is. And Darren, it grieves me to think that so many who call themselves believers have not even read the Word. They don't even know a favorite scripture or two, and they call themselves believers, and then they wonder why God doesn't listen to them or why God doesn't hear them. And it's like Isaiah 47:10 says, "Your wisdom and your knowledge, they have deluded you, because you've said in your heart," you've set yourself up to be your own God. You said, well, this is my take. This is my opinion. This is what I think about all this. It's not what you think. It's not what your take is. It's about what God says in His Word. And Darren, I'm so glad you brought up Ezekiel 14. Because these men were captives in a heathen land when God said, "Your idols have come up in your face, and you're not hearing me, and I'm not answering you any longer.
Now, see, when I was being raised in my early childhood, we talked about the Catholics always having all kinds of idols. They had crucifix, they had Mary, and they had all this kind of stuff. But, you know, we had our own idols, and we were totally blind to that. We had the idol of tradition. We had other idols. We had idols about makeup and about dress and those kinds of things. That was actually idolatry. Mm. And we thought, well, this is a conviction. Well, is it a conviction or was it a notion? My dad and I used to go round and round about this all the time. But let me tell you, we have people who come up and say, you remember me? I'm the one with asthma. Or they'll come up and say, I'm the one with MS. Or, I mean, their identity becomes that thing. That has become an idol in their life. And it's not godly. It's not God-pleasing. We need to say, well, where in the world did that MS come from? Did God send that to you? Did he give you a gift on your birthday of MS? We need to wake up, folks. We need to get back up and say, now, how come? How come? Or I'm the one, for example, that, you know, Darren, if I sit down and they would just level with me, I'd say, you know, Darren, here's what I have. I've got an upset stomach. I have a peptic ulcer. I have burning in my throat. I have diarrhea all the time. I have headaches. I have psoriasis. And I say, you want to know what you really have? What's that? I've just told you what all I have. No, you haven't. You have fear. You idolize fear. And it's coming in to destroy your life. And the fear can keep you awake at night. It can give you that hiatal hernia, which is a gas that comes out of your stomach up and burns your throat. Many times, folks, I'm going to tell you, most of the time, that is a spiritual-based condition. Well, wouldn't you like to be free of that? Well, yes, I would, Brother Darren. How in the world did I do that? I've gone to all the pharmacies in Denver, and they can't help me. I've gone to doctors. I've had x-rays. I've had tests. Let me tell you, it's not basically a root cause of a medical condition. It's out of your spirit. You've got a spirit of fear.
Yes.
And when we can get that spirit of fear out of it, that person can be set free. Now, what's that worth to this guy that's had this for 20 years? Should be worth a lot.
Yes.
Should be worth a lot. You're fixated on the problem.
One of the saddest stories I ever heard in my life, was this woman. She told us that her younger sister was the center of attention in her home. So one day she said, you know what, if I had polio and I were in a wheelchair, everybody would be focused on me. And you know, that woman got polio. And I knew her when she was 50 years old. And she was still in that wheelchair, unable to take care of herself. And Darren, sometimes what we say are curses. We put curses on ourselves. It's just like Ezekiel 14 here. You've set idols in your heart. What was this woman wanting? She was wanting attention. She cursed herself so that she could be the center of attention. That is so sad. And, you know, in James 4:6, it says, God resists the proud and gives strength to the humble. Idolatry is as witchcraft. God will not break his rules or make an exception for you. He is so desirous of our welfare that he made an oath, a covenant, and he made you priority creation. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus, but he will not break his rules for you.
Well, let me go on and read another scripture here. This is the seventh verse of Ezekiel 14, a great chapter. For anyone of the house of Israel, or we could say today of the body of Christ, or the immigrants who stay in Israel and separates himself from me. Now, see, when you get into idolatry, you're separating yourself from the Lord God. He sets up his idols in his heart, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet to inquire of me. For him, sir, I, the Lord, will be brought to answer him in my own person. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign in the proverbs, and I will cut him off from among the people. I hate to say this, folks, this sounds terribly negative, but I've seen people who've been cut off because they made the decision and they got into self-pity, or they got into, oh, it just put all the attention on me, look at poor me. And in medicine, they have a thing called secondary gain. We had a woman in our church one time where she'd go and have an operation, and I'll tell you, I was fasting for this lady, and after about the third operation, and they were taking every part out of her body that she'd get along without and still live, I finally caught on. That's when she got flowers. That's when she got the strokes. And the medical people call that secondary gain. She would go through all of this stuff to have attention that she wasn't getting any other time in the year. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you something. I quit fasting for her. I said, hey, baby, you're on your own. If you want to live that way and all that goofiness, that's up to you. But I'm out of here. And
God.
I think it's a tragedy what the devil cons us, deceives us into doing to ourselves.
That's right. When we have such great deliverer,
amen.
Such a great savior,
amen.
So today we're saying to you, before we get into the things of the Spirit, and we do want to get into that because it's going to just...